This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hi, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
You still love me? Are we okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Hi, Richie Ote.
Hello.
We're joined in the studio by the one and only Mr. Pear Bristow. What's up, buddies?
Hello.
And
I'm delighted to be here.
And Pear is Swedish for what?
Hey, what do you mean? It's a good fruit.
It's a lovely
fruit.
No,
it's a variation of Peter, but it is.
Is that what
full,
it is?
Yeah, it's my full name, P-E-R. That's all I got, three letters.
It's just like, you know, just straight to it. We don't need the T or the E, just P.
Exactly.
Right, just straight through it. Nice, man.
Short and sweet.
Welcome. And
Thank you.
So it's good to have you. And where is home, by the way, man? Really really cool for you to join us here in studio. So is L.A. home or is Sweden home or where is home?
L.A. is home.
L.A. is home.
Yeah. Yes.
And how long ago did you come here from Sweden?
20 years.
Okay, and you're 12 now, so you were
exactly.
Before you were even born.
That's right.
Okay, got it, man. No, you're. I mean, God, dude, you look like just a baby, and for you to have done as much as you've done, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, but you're a little older than some folks, you know, realize, right? I mean, do you
Why
share?
Why are you saying
what
that?
What do you mean? I'm supposed to share my age?
No, because when I grow up, I want to like. I mean. This dude is like an unbelievable. This is radio, right?
I mean, I am ageless.
You are ageless.
Yes, it's actually an interesting thing because when I was in my teens, I decided I'm not going to live my life by age.
Uh-huh.
I think it's so sad that people live their lives by age. Ooh, I'm this and this. I don't know.
I agree.
Seriously. Yeah.
I tore my quad yesterday playing softball.
And then you blame age.
Right. It's like, then I blame age. Exactly.
Exactly. How much have you trained? I mean,
yeah, not much. I got out of the car, started running to first, and I was like, okay, that was
right,
it, man.
That's the difference. Is the kid was playing every day.
That's
right. So you got to play every day.
So obviously we change, and that's so interesting since I work with singers and speakers and The Voice, and people think, oh, am I too, I get, you know, because I have an online program, right? So a lot of people who are older ask, oh, okay, is it too late? What do you mean too late? Too late for what?
Yeah.
Too late to improve? I don't think so.
All right, so we got to take a few steps back so we can take a few steps forward. But we can't downplay. I mean, just if you guys are unfamiliar with Pear's work, I mean, dude, you put on massive live events, concerts that are. I mean, it's like, what's the biggest crowd you've ever?
What do you mean massive? They're not massive, but they're cool.
No, dude.
It's good energy.
Dude.
It's fun.
There are a lot of people that come out for your shows.
Well.
So,
like 1,000, 2,000?
No, we haven't been over 1,000 yet, but maybe we could be in L.A. now. That would be fun.
Yeah, but still, man. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come out for your events, and it's just like this big, fun, rocking performance, and people have taken, I mean, how many people have gone through, because right now I think you've got like, what was it, like 600 something thousand likes on the Facebook page.
780,000.
There you go. See, yeah, who's counting?
Nice.
700, yeah, right? So, and you sell a lot of your program, right? So, I mean, like, give people a sense of where your business is now, and then let's go back to kind of how you got to where you are. So just give us like an understanding of generally like where is your business now? Because this is, I mean, come on, dude. This is a real thing. I mean,
I'm very humble. I don't normally talk about numbers and stuff like that. But yes, I mean, it's been amazing. I'm so grateful for the internet, seriously, because I was working one-on-one, the traditional way of coaching. And then I realized, oh, I have a method here. People were getting great results. So I was thinking, okay, how can I create a way so that people have this similar experience, get similar results without having to see me in person. So that was the work that I was getting into, trying to figure out the strategy, frankly. So I lead them through a process, and that has been very, very successful then. And, yeah, it's so, yeah, people in 132 countries have done my training.
Wow.
And, quite a lot.
So thank God for the internet, right?
But
it didn't start out that way. So like you said, you came from Sweden 20 years ago. Were you a musician back in the days? Is this like something from childhood, or did you pick this up when you were older? Or
well, I was, so I was a violin player when I was a kid. And that's probably the starting point, not just because I played violin, but I was considered, you know, a child prodigy, whatever you want to call it. But I was kind of annoyed by that. You're so talented. But, you know, I understand that people say it.
Did you enjoy it too?
Way, yeah, I enjoyed it, but I loved the learning. I loved the skill development. So therefore, I've never been a fan of the word talent. I wanted to figure out how to get those fingers moving, how I could learn that piece by Friday. That was exciting to me. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, when things go well, you become more and more inspired. And my teacher was very good at giving me challenging stuff so that I would be inspired in the right way. But, you know, that has been with me. And then I wanted to be an athlete, but I wasn't considered talented. But then I actually became a top youth athlete, and then I became a singer.
What was the sport of choice?
Track and field.
So what were you doing in track and field?
A bunch of stuff. Decathlon, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Wow. So,
how far did you take that? Was it like on a national level?
Yeah, on a national. Or? You know, I was third in the Swedish school championships.
Wow.
In hurdles, and so I was top 20 in six different events, but that was on a youth level.
Yeah.
And then I got more into music. And,
yeah.
And then I started singing in high school, and I probably sounded like the proverbial strangled cat, and I needed to figure out how to do this.
So were you one of those kids who, like, people looked at and they go, oh, please don't have him sing Happy Birthday? Were you, were you one of those where they were like, let Pear sing it? Or was that you?
Well, I don't think I ever tried singing, honestly. it wasn't cool. It wasn't a cool thing to do. Playing the violin wasn't cool either.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I felt kind of ashamed of that. Shoot, I want to be in a rock band, so I get noticed by the girls, and it's...
yeah.
Right? So...
There are some rock bands that have a violinist.
Yeah,
right?
Led Zeppelin would use the bow also on his guitar.
I didn't realize that at the time. I thought it was just a wimpy instrument. But
you train people in terms of how to use their voice and so on. So was that kind of the impetus for getting into this work? As you then you sang in? Were you a lead singer of a band, or like how did you get so enamored with the whole power of voice?
In bands, yes, but then I actually had one of the leading roles in the two biggest box office successes in Swedish history. Ooh, that's a mouthful.
Wow.
No, but on stage,
a leading role.
Yeah,
as an actor.
Yes, well, actor singer in musicals.
So this is like, what was that, the one that just came out that I refused to see, that L.A.?
Oh, that one.
What was that one?
La La Land.
La La Land, that one, right? So was it kind of like that?
Yeah,
was
but
it...
La La Land is a movie. You know the musical Cats, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it? It's a weird musical, but I was the Swedish rock and roll cat.
The Swedish rock and roll cat.
Rum Tum Tugger. Rum Tum Tugger is a curious cat.
he's back in character.
Wade, we got to dig that up. Rum Tum Tugger is a curious cat. Rum-tum-tiger, we got to find that one online somewhere.
Yeah, and then we did a revival of West Side Story where I was Riff. And that broke the Swedish box office record at the time.
Did it really?
So I did a lot of that stuff, and I felt I had done it, so I wanted to move on. And then I came to L.A., and I thought it was amazing. My dream to come here. Part of it for the creativity, but also, frankly, sunshine.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt. But a lot of creativity also. Everybody's here to do something. I say here, not that you're exactly in L.A., but...
Did you find your, quote, air quote, voice when you got to America?
Oh.
For what you're doing now? Did you find that here?
Interesting. Finding my voice. I think that's a constant evolution. Can I say something first?
I wish you would.
You guys, about the reinvention radio. I just love the concept of reinvention, because I think I consider myself constantly evolving and reinventing all the time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people come to me now when they have... or have in the past also, when they have voice problems. And the thinking tends to always be, how can I get my voice back? And I always say, you're not. But we can build something new. We can reinvent something, and it's going to be probably more exciting and interesting than it ever was. Mm-hmm. I think it's such a dramatic mindset shift. Even if you, I've lost my money, I've lost my love, right? No, it's not about getting it back.
Slate.
You're creating something new. I mean, just that mindset becomes like, oh, I'm full of possibilities.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, man. And obviously you guys can't see Pear, but I mean, like, model quality. I mean, let's be honest, like blonde hair, blue eyes, model quality. You were an athlete, you were a musician. Like, I mean, come on paper, dude. That's like, I mean, that's like a dude's dream, right? You got the jawline, the whole nine. Oh, so, what, I mean, was
wait,
there? Yeah,
wait,
I love you.
A couple
all
minutes
right,
ago, I thought so, but now he's completely red.
Now, right, now he's like,
all right, but before we go to break here, I just got to know: will you at least save me from myself here and tell me that there was at least a point in time where you struggled
in some way?
Were you ever sad? Have you been depressed a day in your life?
But this is what I'm.
You weren't listening to his story.
This is what I want to get to.
He just having fun learning the skills to do all these things. Like, there's no end. You weren't listening to him.
I'm ready.
But a lot of stuff, what I talk about and what I coach and at these live events is about how we deal with fears. I have so many fears, and I had so many fears. In high school, I still consider myself introverted. And in high school, you know, I was... How do I get attention? We all want to be loved. We all want to belong. We all want to fit in. It's a survival thing. And I didn't feel that I did. Well, at certain points I did, because when I was an athlete, fine. But in other areas, no. And when I joke about the girls, it's actually a serious thing. I thought I was the only one, but apparently other guys have felt that too. So this thing about fitting in and being noticed, it's important for a lot of us. Now, later on, it changes. You know, the reason why we do stuff changes, but it's... this is why I want to coach people. How do they break out of their shells and how to overcome their fears?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, so we're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. We've got the one and only Per Bristow hanging out with us. That's PerBristow.
Yes.
Yeah, T-O-W. And is it PerBristow.com is the best place for folks to check out? Yeah. Okay, so PerBristow. With a W at the end there, .com is the best place to go. All right, we're going to have a lot more here with Per on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher checking out the lovely Mary Gallet. Hello,
hello.
Again, Mary. Richie Ote. What's up, babies?
Hello.
And the one and only Per Bristow hanging out with us here in
hello there.
Studio. Hello there.
Yes.
Hello there. Mary. Hi, Mary Gallet.
Hello.
So, question for Per. Yes?
Okay, so I know you have your online program, and you can, I guess, walk through various exercises and things like that, and maybe mindset around singing, like you're mm-hmm. saying. Do most people want to take your program because they just want to fulfill or satisfy the idea that they can sing better, or do you even have the range up to professional singers?
That's a great question, and this was something that I what do you mean?
I get a point when somebody said,
yeah, we get points here at Reinvention Radio. It's a thing. Great question. Check. Mary gets one.
Awesome. Because yeah. This was something that I was battling with when I was launching it online, because when I was coaching one-on-one, I was coaching professionals, beginners, all kinds, right? So online or marketing something, you have to know your audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one. So who's my audience? Is that professionals? Is that beginners? Older people? Young people? Rock singers? Classical singers? I couldn't figure it out. But what I did figure out was that they all come to me for a reason. They all feel restricted somehow. Mm-hmm. And that's why I named my program Sing with Freedom, and then I have Speak with Freedom, because I think that's what we want. We want the freedom, right? Now, what freedom is that? Some people are up on stage and want to feel that freedom to be able to create that bond with an audience and not have to be worried if they're going to hit the high high notes or if their voice is going to go out. They really want to be spontaneous, feel fully alive on stage, and they want to be able to do it the next day too. So that applies to a beginner, so who's never been on stage, and it applies to a professional who might have a really tough gig, might be performing five times a week, and it's really taking a toll on the voice. But it's still then the freedom aspect of it, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you don't perform, you want to have the freedom to be able to let out sound and not be ashamed of it and actually feel good about it or participate in a choir, singing, whatever it might be, right? So it's so many applications to what I do. So that's why I lead them through a process where they discover a greater awareness of the voice. So you discover, oh, tension. I never realized I had that tension that I'm holding on to.
I mean, isn't, like, that's a cool metaphor on one level, but isn't it even technically true too? Like, that tension is probably what makes most sharps.
And, well, absolutely.
And the not having confidence is probably what gives most flats.
Yes, and that's right. And I talk about this all the time, that singing on key has much less to do with your ear than you think. Everybody thinks it's an ear issue. And as a matter of fact, people who think they can't sing, who think they're tone deaf. At every event, I bring someone up on stage who believe they're tone deaf, and in 5 minutes, they sing perfectly on key. But why? That's the question. It obviously wasn't their ear. And, their ear has very little to do with it, but they have never given themselves permission to actually let out sound. So it's really fascinating, mm-hmm. the beliefs we have and the restrictions that we are not aware of.
So it sounds like I'm not plugging your event yet, although I probably am plugging your event because I haven't gone yet. I'm already ready to sign up. Send me an affiliate link. Slight discount because I'm also promoting.
Do you hear that?
Yeah,
time.
He's just working.
Send me the link.
And he can bring a friend for free.
So,
anything for you and your audience.
You know, but oh, seeing how I laughed and I forget the it's you must provide a space for them to feel free.
Yes.
Like that must be your main...
Would that be a container?
That must be, yeah, okay.
I mean, only
if you're like with Stuart, whatever.
Perry, and you provide a safe container.
How do you provide a safe space to be able to do that?
By first being yourself.
Yeah, well, step number one. Well, think of it, that every singer wants to sound good, right? The reason we don't sing is because we don't feel we sound good, and therefore we feel that we're going to be judged, and then it goes back to that survival thing, I don't belong, I don't fit in, I'm not
loved,
right?
For some reason, singing is a vulnerable place to be. You're supposed to be
yeah.
open,
Absolutely.
Expressing, emotional, yeah. and people are doing that, and then somebody's like... Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I think it's cool that he says make a space to sound like shit first if you want. You know,
that's
like,
what we said off mic, and that's what I was going to say now.
Because
we're so conditioned. We want to sound good. So how do we get there? How can we have the freedom to let out sound? Now, every baby lets out sound. We could argue that we sing before we are able to construct words into sentences. Right?
Right.
Adults may not call it singing, but for a child, it's
vocalizing.
Expressing, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. It becomes there's so much fear that's tied into it. At the same time, there's such incredible joy. That's why
right.
every culture sings. Every baby
so
sings.
So you said there's some steps that, yeah. So,
yes.
So
what do we do as a starting point? Now, every singer, this is why I've become a little rebellious against traditional singing training. And this applies to speakers also, by the way. But it's always about singing scales, using your ears. We think it's an auditory process. We use our ears, and then we are judging ourselves if we're singing, like you're saying, sharp or flat. And then if we're in a teacher, the teacher's probably going to point it out. And it's, you know, it's well-meaning, but it becomes a process of we becoming very, very good judges, which is not a good thing. So what do? I come in and say, hey, let's not sing scales. Let's not sing notes. As a matter of fact, let's give ourselves permission to sound like crap. And then people go, but I'm paying you to sound good. But here's it's so interesting. It only takes a few seconds.
This is how I don't have anyone enforce my money back guarantee. It's like, I told you were going to sound like shit by the end of this course.
No, but it only takes a few minutes. I mean, the professional singer finally feels, oh, what a relief. Mm. Finally, I don't have to sound good. And this is why home study training can actually become even more effective, because now you're in your room by yourself and nobody's listening, hopefully not even you. And then I lead them through a process of self-discovery, of awareness, and you start realizing, wow, I hold on to tension I never knew I had, and oh, what's going on there? How do I get these vocal cords to vibrate? Oh, now they start vibrating freer, and wow, now I get more power with less effort, which is an amazing discovery after 30 minutes. And then after that, you realize, wow, singing on pitch, singing on key becomes the easiest thing in the world.
So as a speaker, I do a lot of speaking. I do webinars, that sort of thing. I clearly have an issue, and this is probably what we're talking about as it relates to singing, but certainly as it relates, I think, to speaking as well, where I will feel my voice will sound drained, I will feel drained, like there's too much going into that. So where am I speaking from, and where should I be?
And when you
speaking
feel that,
from? Yeah.
You recognize that now suddenly it takes you out of the connection with the audience, because now you become not self-awareness is good, but you also become then self-conscious about it. You become worried, am I going to last, do I have to fix things? And we don't want to have that feeling on stage in front of an audience. So it really does affect, they won't notice, they won't know, but you know.
Yeah.
So
what's something to think about then while we're speaking on stage, or even doing this show? Sometimes I've been accused of being a puker, you know, which is just like that, you know, kind of way. And I think I've toned it down a lot.
You have.
Thank you. But still, there are times after a show where I'm like, oh, man, I'm kind of spent, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What do we think about if we're speaking from stage or singing or doing this radio, you know, podcast or something like that? Maybe there's some tips there that you can throw out for us too.
So on a physical level, we have these vocal cords inside here, inside of the throat, inside of the larynx, and also known as vocal folds, and we want them to vibrate. They have to vibrate in order to create sounds. If I do, there's no sound. They're not coming together. So there are two of them, and that's the thing. They have to come together in order to create sound. So when I say, they're coming together, but there are so many other muscles surrounding these that they all want to participate, and that's really nice of them, but we'd rather they don't. So what we want to do is to engage in exercises to isolate muscles. And that's also from my sports background, we want to being able to execute any kind of movement, it's about muscle isolation. So that means strength in certain points, but we also want to relax, right? It's playing an instrument, for example. Like I said, I play the violin. How do I move two fingers and relax the other two? That's not easy. So that is a developed skill. So that's with speaking or using the voice, we often don't appreciate it as being a skill that can be developed, that muscles can be developed. We think, okay, it's just my voice, right? So I've trained an enormous amount myself, and it's amazing what we can do. So
at the live events, you do some sort of vocal kind of stuff that you have the audience do, right? I mean, right? Like, so do you want to
do we have a couple of those?
Yeah, no, he totally does. Totally does. Do you want to have us do some of those?
We have.
By the way, I've had relatives kill themselves before their next birthday just so that they wouldn't hear me sing happy birthday.
Yeah,
so just I apologize in advance. They're like, no, not another birthday, self-esteem, not. I end it. Yeah,
I love spontaneous things. So if you just say
come on, Wade.
Now do that and feel that the tongue becomes the heaviest it has ever become. Just allow it to collapse wherever it collapses, but feel heavy. You're so heavy you can't talk. And now move your head at the same time. Do we sound good? Who gives it?
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Are you hitting notes? No. But what we want to do is variations of this to actually isolate the tongue and isolate the muscles. Moving around is really freeing. A lot of people think it's all about breathing. Well, sure, breathing is helpful. I do it a lot. But
you're doing it right now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right? We've been doing it. But you want to be able to isolate that. So do it again and let it out a little bit longer.
Wade, Rich, you left us hanging there.
No,
really?
I was
come
away
on.
From the mic.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I'll go back.
Okay,
yes.
You do it again. And. And then the inclination would be to say, oh, you sound so good. Wait a minute. No, it's not about the sound, right? So good. All right. So now the question would be, how does that feel? And then I know we don't have time, but then I'll get the other things. So then you can compare the feeling, and then you start recognizing that the vocals start vibrating freer and freer.
All right. Sweet. All right. So let's do a little more of that. And And I know we got a lot more that you want to cover here before, unfortunately, we got to wrap it. We got one more opportunity here to chat with Per Bristow, the one and only PERBRISTOW.com. And more with Per here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All righty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher, Mary Valet.
Hello.
Mary Valet, Ricciotte. What's up, baby?
How's it going?
And Per Bristow hanging out here with us in studio. All right, before we go too far down the path here, man, if you, this has got to be super hard for you, but if you had to say there's just one song, I'm always curious, like from a musician standpoint, like, you know, because I think it says a lot about a person when they can identify that one. What is that one, like, what's your favorite song of all, whether it's classical or rock or Swedish?
When people
or,
ask that,
I'm curious. You got to have one song. I know. Do
you mean
one
like,
the,
and I know you're asking him.
Yes.
But I got to clarify this question because I hear this a lot and I always want to ask for context. Do you mean like a song you could listen to over and over and over and over and over and over?
Sure.
Or it'll be in your heart regardless of if you ever hear it again?
Like, sure.
Because there's different.
Well, there
are
different things also.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Is it a song that you like to listen to or a song that you like to sing?
All right, how about a song you like to sing? How about that?
Yeah,
how about that? How about a song you like to sing? Let's do that. Good point.
It's interesting that I have had so many. I mean, I don't do much one-on-one these days, but when I did, so many rock singers, they want to sing Journey songs. And I
Steve
get
Perry.
It.
Who doesn't like
get
Steve
it.
Perry?
Who does not like Steve Perry? But it also is so freaking hard to sing.
Yeah.
So in that sense, for myself, I love singing that stuff just because it's hard.
So which one would it be?
Separate Ways.
Separate Ways is tough. Faithfully is kind of. I love the song Faithfully. Actually.
Great. Then you're going to sing just a little bit.
No,
come
I'm not.
On, man. You can't
Steve,
come. What?
No. Let him do what he wants to do.
A man
yes,
with a
exactly.
microphone
He's
is this
putting me on the spot. That's
the singing zone.
So that
sing with freedom.
Let him be.
I give you permission, Perry.
I have
I
to
give
pull up
permission.
The lyrics of song. I refuse.
But the only time in history.
Exactly.
All right. So
because then
we'll,
people are just going to judge me, and then it becomes a performance, and it becomes a weird kind of thing, right?
Everyone like is judging you anyway. That's how we are. We are as human beings. We are judgmental.
Stop.
Yes, we are.
If November 11th you show up at his conference,
yes, is that how it's going to go down?
I guarantee you he will sing you.
I will sing.
Is that how it'll go down?
I guarantee you, won't you?
And you will too.
Yeah, see?
It's not really a singing event, although, like I talked about, singing, speaking, using our voice is so fundamental for us as human beings, so why not engage in that? But it leads to so many other things, the fear and the peak performance system.
Okay, so let's say you're having, hypothetically, 400 people at your event in L.A., maybe more. What is kind of the format of your event? For the full day, is it talking to them about fear, mindset, all that kind of stuff, and how the body reacts
full
to it?
Full of surprises.
Damn.
Oh yeah!
And it's a one-day event, a multi-day event.
I saved
event.
You from
how
having
many,
to sing.
That was yeah. She,
what about
know. No? So here's the thing.
Yeah.
There are three main areas that I cover, and that is this perception we have about fear is very, very interesting. I would argue that. Probably the most common trait among successful people is the awareness of fear. Not that we don't have fears, but the awareness of fear. And since I'm from a sports background and I know a lot of athletes and I bring athletes up on stage. So, for example, in the event I did in Brisbane, I brought up Mark Visser, who's this big wave surfer guy. And he, you know, the waves, jaws, the big wave surfers, they want to surf that. That's the craziest wave, apparently, on Maui. Well, he's the guy who did nighttime. So the question is, so I asked him, Mark.
So this is a fearless dude, basically.
You got to get towed into this wave. Paddle into this wave. You have to get towed in.
Drop from a helicopter, that kind of thing.
No, you get towed in by a jet ski.
So what you said is exactly what most people say. So I brought him up on stage because I wanted him to answer that question. Mark, are you afraid? I asked him, are you fearless? And he said, no. I'm scared shitless all the time.
Of course.
I'm probably more scared than most people. Now, this is so interesting. That's why I wanted him to come up on stage and say that, because we need to understand that. It's not about not having the fear. It is about learning what to do with it. And that is that's when it gets into really high-level performance on a daily basis, on stage, in a sports event. If we understand that fear is actually good. Nervousness is good. Beginner singers think that professional singers don't get nervous. When I did a show back in Sweden 350 times, I stopped being nervous, and it became the worst performances. It became boring. It's like going to work, right? A boring, mundane activity.
So the butterflies are good, actually.
Yes. I need to figure out a way how to actually make myself a little bit nervous, meaning I don't know what's going to happen. Sure, I know the script. I know what I'm going to sing. But if I go up on stage with a blank page, I don't know what's going to happen. Now it becomes life, right? Now it becomes alive, spontaneity, creativity, and it becomes a beautiful performance. And it becomes something unique, even if we stick to the script. So that's what makes it a really interesting performance. And that's what applies to life also.
Mm-hmm.
So it ties into the awareness of fear, how we transform that into a good energy, and then how to train ourselves so we get into the zone, the flow state, so we can actually perform at really high levels when it matters the most.
I agree. I mean, Mary, you've heard me say this quite a few times. Part of why I say people should stick with the youthful energy is just like that comment of age from earlier. The difference is when you're older, you're not doing the activity all the time, so that's why you're getting sore more or hurt more, because you're not doing it. Youth realizes it's about doing a combination of something you love and stepping outside of your comfort zone. And that's that fear layer. And that's where action sports and extreme sports was kind of born, right? Doing something they love and taking it to another level, and just kind of always working on the skill set that can take yourself to another level. And to bring it back to kids, I think what it fundamentally says you're saying is this is almost about unlearning. Because even as kids, we know this. Think of all of our heroes as kids. They're firemen. Mm-hmm. They're the people who run towards the problems.
Right.
When we're a kid, we're people that run towards the problem. What are you doing over there, goofball? He's great at killing a moment.
Come on, Fair.
Nobody can sing like Steve Perry. That's
so why is that? He's one of the guys that has a unique voice.
Yeah. Steve Perry's unique voice. Real quick on that other topic, the feeling of excitement and the feeling of nervousness express exactly the same way. It's merely how you choose to interpret that set of feelings, which is why Olympic athletes, when they're asked, "Were you nervous?" they go, "No, I was excited." It's the same feeling. It's just how you choose to interpret it. Words of wisdom, but from one of our other hosts that I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, Steve Olsher.
So I agree, but I would add to that, though, that it's more than just a choice. It's actually an advanced developed skill, so that happens in that moment when we need it automatically. Right. And that goes when we have a crisis in life also.
Yeah.
So what is your stage? That might be that meeting Monday morning. Might be that tough conversation you need to have, right? What do you do when things don't go well? Mm-hmm. How do you turn things around in your business? So I wouldn't be the entrepreneur that I am if I hadn't developed those skills. Because we have to be able to take on challenges. We have to fail all the time.
Isn't that what an entrepreneur is? We're solving problems. Get a new gig.
Exactly.
Get a job.
So my opinion then is, if I can help people train the skill to become even better, they're going to become more successful in any area of life.
Nice. All right, so what's got you the most excited right now then, man? Obviously, you've been doing this. You do the live stuff. And been doing a million different things over the years. What's got Per Bristow the most excited right now?
Right now in my life?
Yeah.
I'm excited about doing these events. I'm preparing for them and making it more awesome than they ever have been. That's really exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
Very scary also. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Right?
Awesome. Yeah, man. And if people want more information about you, where is the best place for them to go?
So pearbristow.com is my sort of blog. That's not really happening as it could be. TheSingingZone.com, that's where it's happening with the singers. Mm-hmm. And then SpeakWithFreedom.com is where it's happening for speakers. And they all tie together. A lot of speakers have done my singing program.
Yeah.
And because we're all singing, we want to sing our song in life, right?
Right. Well, thank you for singing your song in life, my man, and for jumping down here from L.A. to join us in studio. And an honor and a privilege to have you here for Mary Goulet and Richie Ote and White Wade. And, of course, the one and only Pear Bristow. I am Steve Ulsher, and we will talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care, everybody.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulsher, visit reinventionradio.com.